And we have to start with an update on this awful story about the stabbing, the fatal stabbing of a Metro bus driver about 51 hours ago, about 3 in the morning, early Wednesday. The police were able to ID the suspect much more quickly than you would have thought from the media accounts where they were saying, you know, if you see a tall man in a blue jacket.
Said he was 6'1", I think, was the one
kind
of big descriptor they gave.
And that was it. Pretty vague. But in fact, police had a very clear idea of who it was. It was 6'5", 53-year-old Richard Sitzlak, who happens, by the way, to be Caucasian. Here's Mary Nam with the backstory on this guy.
King County prosecutors confirmed with Como News that Sitzlak was arrested last November for murder, but was never charged. In 2023, he escaped from an apartment along University Way Northeast after his roommate allegedly tried to hit Sitzlak with an ottoman. Prosecutors say Sitzlak stabbed his roommate and fled. The man died from his injuries. Sitzlak claimed he stabbed the man in self-defense, and prosecutors did not find enough evidence to charge him.
Well, you got a dead body. And you have someone who presumably has a long criminal record.
Also makes you wonder what the circumstances of the dead roommate might be. Did that person have some sort of criminal track record? And the two got into some disagreement and escalated into that fight.
Yeah. You see violence breaking out all the time in these homeless encampments. And it's frequently between people who are both, to use that wonderful euphemism, are both familiar to police. But again, the same man that police say is responsible for stabbing a 59-year-old Metro bus driver was arrested just a year ago for stabbing his roommate, but was never charged. Remember, this week's murder included an eyewitness, and it appears that between the surveillance camera video of the stabbing and the eyewitness account, police had a pretty good idea of who the suspect was. Prosecutor Lisa Mannion could not bring herself to announce what the charges would be. Is that it, Phil? That Lisa Mannion has not announced? Okay. Well, I'll tell you something. If they had thrown the book at this guy a year ago, we might have one less dead Metro bus driver this week. Anyway, Como 4 reports that Sitzlak was seen on surveillance camera sometime Wednesday night downtown.
And talking about that suspect, according to police, he was last seen 8 o'clock last night in downtown Seattle. If you've seen him, if you know where he is, call 911 immediately.
So this guy is still out there roaming around. It's not like he can jump in his car and head for California or Montana, and he still has not been picked up. Again, there aren't a lot of 6'5" homeless vagrants. So I don't know why, when he was sighted last night, why they haven't been able to corral this guy. And I don't know why there's not a greater sense of alarm, because he brutally attacked this Metro bus driver. This began, again, about 3 o'clock in the morning. The bus driver had one of the windows.
These plexiglass kind of shields?
No, one of the windows in the bus was halfway down.
Right.
And
that precipitated the interaction, yeah.
And Sitzlak didn't like the window being down. And the bus driver said, look, I don't want all the windows fogging up. And, you know, you don't have to, you can sit where you want, but I got to have that window down. And Sitzlak starts making trouble and starts calling names and starts making threats. Whereupon the driver, Mr. Yim, pulls over and says, this is your last stop. You know, you're off my bus here. And Sitzlak responds by attacking the driver. He had some sort of pepper spray or mace, and he sprayed it at the driver, who then yelled back at him, that's assault, that's assault. Then he grabbed the driver and dragged him off his bus and stabbed him, dragged him a few feet away to an alley and stabbed him in the chest. And that is where this bus driver died. And Mr. Sitzlak is still at large. And again, we're not talking about someone who has means of escaping to another place. We're not talking about someone who is hard to miss in a crowd. So hopefully we will get some answers here shortly. But this is, again, just something that is so indicative of what is wrong. One incident shows what is wrong in King County and what is wrong in the city of Seattle. Why is someone like Richard Sitzlak even out in the first place? Why was he not charged with anything? Again, he admitted stabbing his roommate a year ago and just claimed that it was self-defense. Sitzlak has a criminal background. He's volatile. He possesses deadly weapons. Why wasn't this guy charged with anything? Also, how come this guy hadn't been involuntarily committed for mental health reasons in the past? What's his mental health history? I'm guessing it's substantial. And when he's having an episode, probably addled by drug use, people get hurt. So you have the mental health angle. Again, for years, the one-party regime that runs Seattle and King County has refused to call for making it easier to involuntarily commit deranged people who are violently inclined. Okay, people who, when they go off in a violent direction, and you never know how it manifests itself. So that's problem number one. Why haven't they tightened, or rather, why haven't they loosened the standards, making it easier to involuntarily commit the mentally ill? It's never even debated. Something that is so obvious and needed to happen 20 years ago is not happening, and they don't even debate whether to do it. Then, of course, there's the issue of whether people are held accountable for their crimes if they are homeless or drug addicts or both. Sitzlak had a roommate. I'm guessing that he's been homeless from time to time as part of that population, that subgroup of homeless people who drift between boarding houses and shelters and homeless encampments. And then we have Metro Bus, Seattle's Metro Bus system and Sound Transit is unsafe in too many places. Not just the buses, but the bus stops. They have ended doing bus stop just a week ago. They stopped Metro bus stops in Little Saigon. Little Saigon is in kind of on the downslope of Capitol Hill. When you leave Capitol Hill, when you leave like the hospital zone, Seattle University, and you head down that gradual sloping hill, that is Little Saigon. They say rampant crime has made it unsafe for people to catch the bus and for employees to drive the bus. Stabbings, assaults, robberies, 250 reports of violent incidents so far this year. 250 reports of violent incidents right around that bus stop. Again, the buses are not safe in too many places, too often during the day and night, and some of the bus stops. That didn't used to be that way. But again, this is all part of what happens when you shrug your shoulders at drug culture, meaning a culture that allows and enables, and in King County's on King County's part, encourages the use of hard drugs. When people want hard drugs, they're willing to steal. They're willing to rob. They're willing to break in and burgle to get the money to buy hard drugs, fentanyl, crystal meth, heroin, opioid. They are also, when they are under the influence, or more likely when they're coming down from fentanyl, crystal meth, heroin, opioids, they lash out, act out in unpredictable ways. And often, to get out of the elements, they do this kind of thing on Metro buses or on Sound Transit. That is a completely man-made problem by Seattle's political establishment. They have no one but themselves to blame for this. And bus drivers end up getting killed. And here they say they need much more money for bus transit. Bus transit ridership is down, way down from where it was pre-COVID. And they said, well, it'll pick back up after COVID. It picked up a little bit, but still, it's way down. Even as more people live in and around the city, it's way down, public transit use. The people are voting with their feet. They're walking, they're Ubering, they're pedaling, or more likely, they are driving or riding with someone who's driving.
One other social media handle I follow is called PNW Pacific Northwest Conservative. And PNW Conservative handle posted about the stabbing murder of the Metro bus driver in the U District earlier this week in Seattle. Sean Yim is the name of the bus driver, and the PNW Conservative handle posted, Sean Yim was stabbed to death this morning while driving his King County Metro bus. Seattle's turned into a dangerous cesspool, and the voters keep on electing the same clowns who do nothing. We should be ashamed. And another angle to that is some of the reports this week about the bus driver union here in Seattle, the local ATU 587. And the question that I thought of was, I wonder, did the ATU Local 587 make political endorsements for recent campaigns, elections for county council?
Oh, you bet they did.
Elections for King County prosecutor, election for Dow Constantine. And I'm guessing they probably didn't endorse a lot of candidates that ended up winning.
Reliably,
right?
Liberal.
And so then you end up with the incumbents getting reelected that have caused these problems, and we end up with the horrific results of murdered bus drivers in Seattle.
The politicians whose policies are responsible for the culture that has made Metro bus travel so dangerous for drivers and for passengers was created by politicians, almost all of whom were endorsed by ATU, the transit union. So basically, if they want to see the root of the problem, they ought to start looking in the mirror. The politicians they like are the ones whose policies help create the conditions that resulted in one of their own drivers losing his life.